Welcome to the Using the Whole Whale podcast, where we learn from leaders about new ideas and digital strategies making a difference in the social impact world. This podcast is a proud production of Whole Whale, a B Corp digital agency. Thank you for joining us. Now, let's go learn something.
This week on the Nonprofit Newsfeed, we've got some information about Elon Musk, Mackenzie's Millions. She's coming out with $640 million in donations that we're going to give you some top-line numbers about, and some issues going on with Catholic Charities. And my name is George. I always forget to introduce myself. I'm the Chief Whaler of Whole Whale, and we have Nick Azoulay, the Digital Strategist over at Whole Whale. Nick, how's it going?
It's going great, George. Great to see you again. Lovely to see you in person last week at retreat, and we're excited to be back in our respective coasts for this podcast. And as you say, our top story is that Mackenzie Scott continues to shake the philanthropic world in a new round of giving. Scott donated $640 million to 361 nonprofit organizations. Get this, out of a total of 6,353 applicants via the organization, her organization's first open call for applications. So this latest round of giving focuses on elevating groups tackling systemic challenges, particularly grassroots organizations. And it'll be interesting to see how these funds ripple through the nonprofit sector broadly and amplify the impact on communities in need. Remember, Scott's donations, or grants rather, are quote, no strings attached, and have been windfalls for many small and medium-sized organizations. George, I know that anecdotally, we've seen that some organizations that get Mackenzie money cause a little bit of stress, right? There's a lot of pressure to use that money wisely, right? And of course, without any guarantee of continued assistance. But I'm sure for the organizations doing critical work on the ground, this is amazing news.
Yeah, I looked at it and I was really impressed by a number of things. One, they had a very simple, straightforward application that didn't waste people's time too much. I was curious, out of the 6,353 submissions and the acceptance rate 361, that's a 5% acceptance rate, better than Columbia. I looked up Columbia for their student admissions. And so, you know, I was worried that it was going to be like a bunch of nonprofits playing the lottery and, you know, wasting their time. And I think it's, you know, frankly, anything but a pretty interesting distribution. Also, inside of there, for the $2 million, that amount awarded went to the top 279 nonprofits. And then the $1 million amount was awarded to 82 organizations. And it seemed like they were sort of adjusting based on appropriate size of gift of revenue for the organization. And you can see transparently all of the organizations on their site who got the money. And we included that link in the nonprofit newsfeed email. So make sure you are subscribed, because we cite source data that you can look through.
Yeah, absolutely, George. Again, 16.5 billion is the total Scott has given away. That's just truly an astounding number.
Also interesting, she's the 60th, forever way you want to count it, 60th richest person according to Forbes on that list, but probably closing in on number one most generous. I know that there are questions around, you know, how much Buffett gives, but we have had that argument in the past that, like, there's a very different world of sending hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars into your family-run foundation, and then something, then it gets distributed, versus like, no, checks, done, go, have that money put to work right now. That money's not sitting in a DAF somewhere. That money is not, you know, parked in a family foundation for the next 100 years of, you know, benevolence. It's like, no, work needs to be done right now. Go. I love it. It's a great model. And, you know, I hope her markets do well so she continues to do this, but it's not likely that she's going to be climbing the wealthiest people list. And I think she's completely all right with that.
Absolutely. Truly admirable stuff from Mackenzie Scott. All right, I want to take us into our next story, George, and this comes from America Magazine. America Magazine is actually a Catholic Jesuit publication, but it highlighted an important and concerning trend, and it details stories of Catholic Charities staff facing a rising tide of harassment, accused by political figures and potential other media outlets of aiding illegal immigration, despite their mission to help migrants post Customs and Border Patrol processing. So Catholic Charities is a actually really big organization. It's somewhat decentralized, but is really integral and a key part of the refugee and migrant resettlement kind of apparatus in the United States. Both Catholic Charities and other religious affiliated nonprofits, as well as secular nonprofits. But staff have gotten direct threats, and it seems to be increasing of late as the issue of immigration and migrants have been demagogued in the media and by politicians. The organization says it's standing firm on its humanitarian grounds, underscoring a commitment to serving those in need, reflecting the core values, and providing dignity to people seeking it in times of adversity. But George, this is, I think, a concerning trend. We've seen certain trends of violence towards nonprofit organizations providing various service, in this case, services to migrants. We've also talked about violence towards, for example, abortion clinics and other type social services. So what do you make of the story?
It's interesting. Whole Whale has, as you mentioned, Whole Whale has had experience working with organizations that are under threat, have to hide their location, have to be extremely careful with the types of public backlash that they receive, specifically around women's rights. It's interesting now to see something as venerable as, Catholic Charities, at least, on the right generally, traditionally, and an organization of this size. This is the 13th largest U.S. charity, roughly revenues around $4.7 billion against total expenses, $4.5 billion. And so to see some of the level of threats and the level of vitriol simply because they are serving their mission, which, by the way, if you pick up a Bible, is pretty sound in terms of helping those in need when they're in need and where they're in need. And now you can see some of the overflow of vitriol associated with probably a political cycle that is revving up against immigration. And I think they're doing the right type of work for this audience for the right reason. And it's just interesting to see it extending, right? It's not just left or right. It is anytime you come up against some charged base, unfortunately, the level of threats seem kind of scary actually for the staff working on the front lines there. And, I don't think that's what people really think when they sign up to help a nonprofit, to volunteer, to provide aid, to give food to folks that need it. So I like that they're being hopefully more and more vocal. Like, I had to dig for this article to find it, but it's something that I think we're watching for the political sentiment and against nonprofits serving people is a little bit under attack here.
Yeah, George, I think that's exactly true. All right, I'll take us into our next one. And this one comes from Nonprofit Quarterly, and that's nonprofits and philanthropies are on high alert as a rising tide of anti-DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion lawsuits threaten to reshape the sector. So legal experts are warning that in the aftermath of the 2023 Supreme Court ruling against striking down affirmative action cases challenging race-conscious practices and grant-making and services by nonprofits, are surging. So organizations like the Fearless Fund and Hidden Star have faced accusations of racial exclusion, creating quite a debate about the future of DEI in the workspace. So questions remain about how nonprofits can legally defend DEI principles in light of a court system that, at some extent, seems to find them unconstitutional, at least in the context of that case, rather. And will the sector have to be forced to rethink its approach to social justice, which I think many have seen as a good thing for nonprofits and philanthropy to think about social justice, particularly in the wake of recent events, as in George Floyd's murder and Black Lives Matter and those conversations. But it seems to be thwarted by this anti-DEI backlash that has been demagogued by folks in all public arenas.
Me, what I've seen is it seems to come down to the problem of quotas and rigid listings of any sort of trackable, provable, frankly, a race-based, this number qualifying for access. Now, there are reasons to have, you know, in those cases, some of that, but where you get into trouble certainly is if it seems apparent that you're discriminating against people in a hiring process or a grant process, as opposed to having a diverse process. There's a unique difference between a diverse process, which is very important and probably has been overlooked for many decades, as opposed to you are literally filtered out if you don't meet this race. And that's where you get into racism. That's where you're going to run afoul of the law. And, you know, it is worthy to have that exploration in your organization of like, which, you know, which are we? Is that justified? Talk to an employment lawyer. Like, you should be checking that. Do we have a diverse process or do we have a rigid quota system, which will probably have to be settled in court?
Yeah, George, I think that's true. Talk to your lawyer. We're not lawyers.
You're listening to a podcast. But that's good advice, though, to talk to an employment lawyer, being like, is this a diverse process or do we have a quota system that might run afoul? We've showed you the map of the number of states implementing more and more of these anti-DEI laws. The next layer down is folks looking to weaponize the legal system against your organization. The more, frankly, polarized you find yourself on the political spectrum, the more likely you are to be a lightning rod for that type of attention.
Yeah, George, I think that's exactly true. And important to point out that this is varying by jurisdiction, right? So your states can have pretty radically different laws. New York has a whole kind of like suite of laws that I know are particularly specific. So yeah, do your due diligence there, nonprofits. All right, George, speaking of due diligence and or the lack thereof, this is a fun one. So Elon Musk's lawsuit against the nonprofit Center for Countering Digital Hate, which is a nonprofit monitoring hate speech, Musk's lawsuit was dismissed with color, I would say, by the judge, as reported by ABC News and others. Judge Breyer dismissed the case, highlighting that legislation protects legal action meant to suppress free speech, and kind of underscoring that even the wealthiest can't just make a nonprofit doing research and making findings. Turns out that that is not a violation, and that's protected by the First Amendment. And George, we have the quote from the judge who threw out this lawsuit, and it's pretty legendary, which says that, quote, sometimes it is unclear what is driving a litigation. Other times, a complaint is so unabashedly and vociferously about one thing that there can be no mistaking that purpose. This case represents the latter. This case is about punishing defendants for their speech. Of course, that is not allowed under the Constitution. So, First Amendment 1, Musk 0.
The irony is so palpable, you could cut it with a butter knife, of this platform that Elon took over supposedly to protect free speech getting called out. And I'm pretty sure that the judge picked up on that and said, this is absolutely ridiculous, and continues with the thread of Elon believing that it is free for me speech, not for all. And, you know, it just gets sort of funnier, the amount of articles that like immediately came out. The takeaway for me is the rallying cry toward the end, saying that, you know, from the nonprofit, the quote here is, we are living in an age of bullies, and it's social media that gives them the power that they have today, Kaplan said in an email to reporters. It takes great courage to stand up to those bullies. It takes an organization like the Center for Countering Digital Hate. We are proud and honored to represent CCDH. And so, again, with that rallying cry, if you are on the right side of free speech, speaking truth to power, this was a win. This was a win.
Yeah. It's a win, George. But who knows? Maybe we'll have a lawsuit come in through our Wholewell email after this podcast, you know?
Oh, God. Don't do that. I'm going to knock on wood.
All right, George. How about a feel-good story?
Yeah, what do we got?
This one comes from Action News Now. Sounds fake, but it's real. And it's in real. Redding, California.
I checked this time.
Oh, man. In Redding, California, the Carrying Heroes Ranch is a beacon of hope for us.
Can't even get through it. I mean, that means I did a great job curating it. Caring Heroes Ranch is a beacon of hope where 7 rescued horses are now on a mission to aid veterans. And so this organization is able to help rescued horses and also give veterans with, you know, coping with high stress jobs and PTSD a way to volunteer and work with these amazing animals. So I was happy to see this. Just a good feel good story. Nonprofits doing the right thing, helping out communities and animals at the same time. All right, Nick, I do have a question for you. What do you call 2 monkeys that share an Amazon account?
I have no idea.
Prime mates. Right? We had the Mackenzie Scott giving away those Bezos dollars. I was like, how do I get an Amazon joke in here? Prime mates.
That was, George, that was the best one. It was so bad, but it was good. That was good. I give you credit.
If you're looking for ways to make terrible jokes for nonprofits, we actually have an AI for that. causewriter.ai/resources. There's literally, I created a nonprofit joke maker that will turn a harmless dad joke into a nonprofit dad joke. And some are better than others, but give it a run. causewriter.ai/resources. All right, Nick. See you next time.
See you later.